Welcome to Come Follow Me, Mental Health Insights with Dr. David Morgan. Each week we'll review a concept from the Come Follow Me lesson and talk about applications to improve our mental and emotional health. Welcome to episode 30 of season 2. This week we are studying Acts chapters 10 through 15. And one of the main themes in these chapters is adjusting to change. Now, change is not new to the gospel of Jesus Christ. While the bedrock principles of faith in Jesus Christ and repentance, baptism, receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost have always been the same, as far as we know, there have been policy and other changes that have been implemented frequently. Even in the New Testament, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talked about some of the commandments in the law of Moses and how they had been updated to reflect a more compassionate response. And in current church times, we've experienced many changes since the church has been organized in the latter days. Even just a few years ago, in 2018, there were changes to the way the Melchizedek priesthood quorums were organized. Home teaching was adjusted to be ministering. There have been many, many similar changes in the history of the kingdom of God on the earth. And today we'll talk about another one from this week's reading. So at that time, Simon Peter was the president of the church after Jesus' death, and he held priesthood keys and was authorized to use them, just like President Nelson today. So if changes were going to be revealed from God to man, they would have come through Peter, and that's exactly what happened. In Acts 10, we read about an Italian Gentile named Cornelius. He was a very good man, and he had a vision where he was instructed to seek out Peter for further direction. And just parenthetically, I love this small example here of line upon line. The Lord knew the whole saga of Peter and Cornelius. He knew how it would result in Cornelius being baptized and receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, becoming a member of the church. But the Lord didn't tell all that to Cornelius. He just said, hey, go and seek out Peter, and you'll get further direction from there. And so much of our life is like that. The Lord reveals just enough for our next step and then wants us to have faith and return to him for further direction. In the meantime, Peter has a very strange vision that he doesn't quite understand. We read about this in Acts chapter 10, starting in verse 9. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance, and saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill, and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou uncommon. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean. Behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry to Simon's house and stood before the gate. So immediately after receiving this vision, wondering what in the world it means, there's a knock on the door, and it's the people that Cornelius had sent to inquire about Peter, according to the commandments that Cornelius had received from the Lord. Now, Peter goes to visit with Cornelius, and when he talks with him, he begins to understand that vision of the unclean beasts was not just something about animals, but was notification of a policy change in the church. So while Jesus was alive, the gospel was to be preached only to members of the house of Israel. But now this vision had indicated that the gospel was to be preached to everyone, no matter their heritage. Peter realizes this, and Cornelius and other members of his house received both baptism and the gift of the Holy Ghost, becoming some of the first non-Israelites to join the Church of Jesus Christ. Now there are a couple things that I just really love about this event. The first, which is something that I had never before realized or understood, it says that before the vision of the beasts, before Peter has the vision of the beasts, it says how he was very hungry. And I just think that's interesting because truly this vision was, the purpose of this vision was to indicate that the gospel was to be preached to all nations, kindreds, tongues, and peoples. It had nothing to do with animals, but because Peter was very hungry, his mind was on food. And so the Lord chose a suitable theme that would have really caught Peter's attention. If it had just been, you know, an angel coming down and saying, hey, preach the gospel to everyone, Peter might have said, yeah, but I'm really hungry. I need to go eat. But instead, the Lord shows him basically food, and that catches his attention. I just think that's neat, and it emphasizes how the Lord truly knows us and is aware of our individual situations. The second thing I love is how flexible and receptive Peter was to the policy change. This was a big deal. This was a major shift in the rules that governed missionary work and the things that the Savior himself had commanded when he was alive, yet Peter did not resist the change, and he immediately followed the new direction. And his disciple colleagues were not so sure about the change at the beginning, but it seems like most of them came around as well. And here's the mental health application. Being flexible in the face of change is an important principle of emotional resilience and good mental health. It reminds me of the current renovations that are happening to the Salt Lake Temple. Now, the temple was built on a very solid and secure foundation, and as long as that foundation didn't shake or move, the temple was in good shape. But in the earthquake of March 2020, the foundation of the temple shook to the point where some stonework fell off, and Moroni's trumpet even broke off and fell. Now, the changes that are being made to the temple include very sophisticated technology, and the foundation has been modified to the point where it will allow the temple to move several feet in any direction without breaking. And we need to follow this pattern in our own lives. If we are too rigid in our thinking or unwilling to accept major changes as a part of life, then when those changes happen, we will not roll with it, but we're likely to break. Learning to accept change is a critical part of our emotional improvement and our spiritual development. In fact, repentance, the second principle of the gospel, is all about accepting and implementing changes in our lives. President Russell M. Nelson taught about this. He said, the word for repentance in the Greek New Testament is metanoeo. The prefix meta means change. The suffix noeo is related to Greek words that mean mind, knowledge, spirit, and breath. When Jesus asks you and me to repent, he is inviting us to change our mind, our knowledge, our spirit, even the way we breathe. He is asking us to change the way we love, think, serve, spend our time, treat our wives, teach our children, and even care for our bodies. Nothing is more liberating, more ennobling, or more crucial to individual progression than is a regular daily focus on repentance. Repentance is not an event. It is a process. It is the key to happiness and peace of mind. When coupled with faith, repentance opens our access to the power of the atonement of Jesus Christ. And I will reiterate what I said before. Learning to accept change is a critical part of our emotional and our spiritual development. Now, I always end my podcast with an invitation to act, and I invite you just to give prayerful consideration to which invitations are appropriate for you at any given time. This week, I'd like you to rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10. How willing are you to accept major changes in your life? And then describe an example of a major change that you didn't want. This is something in the past, but that ended up being better for you in the long run. And then answer the question, what can you do to be more willing to accept changes and think about life in more flexible terms? I have free worksheets that you can download to help you remember and implement these weekly invitations. To find out how to get these, just sign up for my email newsletter, and you can find that link in the show notes. Also, I invite you to subscribe to this podcast and please share it with anyone that you think would find it helpful. And there are written transcripts of the podcast. You can find that link in the show notes as well. Thank you for listening. And until next time, this is Dr. David Morgan reminding you that change is possible, but change requires action, and to always keep moving forward. Thanks for listening. If you want to learn more, please visit Dr. Morgan's website at www.drdavidtmorgan.com.